WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio presents The Voice of Nineveh with Juliana Tamirazi, founder and president of the Iraqi Christian Relief Council. Call now with your questions, 224-585-9734. That's 224-585-9734.
It is such a joy to be with you this morning. My name is Juliana Tamirazi. Welcome to The Voice of Nineveh. My co-host and my co-pilot, Tom O'Connor, is here with me today.
Thank you very much, Juliana. Good morning. First Friday. Happy First Friday. Good to be with you. Today's show, we have a few topics in mind, one of which was for the audience to get kind of an idea of who this lady Juliana is. She was born in Iran.
Juliana,
how about telling us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Although it's not my first time being on WSFI, and I'm so grateful for that, but it's the first time that I'm hosting The Voice of Nineveh. So just a quick background about myself. I was born as an Assyrian Catholic in Iran, and I lived in Tehran with my wonderful family. We were all, majority of us in the family, were smuggled out of Iran in 1988 and 89 into Germany. I was smuggled in 89 into Switzerland, where I stayed at a monastery in hiding for about a week, and then we went to Germany. We sought religious asylum, and then we came to the U.S. 25 years ago. And what a dream come true it was for me, Tom, to be able to call America my home for the last 25 years. And I went to school to Northeastern Illinois University. I obtained my master's degree in instructional design in completely a different field, completely different than what I do today. Now, instructional design, what I did was I designed really curriculum training programs for engineers on different computer applications, and I taught them how to use those computer applications. But then in 2007, I started my ministry, which is called Iraqi Christian Relief Council. We travel throughout the world, and we minister about the persecuted church in Iraq and Syria because of 2003 war that erupted in Iraq, and Al-Qaeda found its safe haven within Iraq, and it wreaked havoc on my fellow Christians' lives.
Holy smokes. How many languages do you speak, Juliana?
Well, fluently, obviously, English is one of them. I speak Aramaic. I speak read and write Farsi. I read and write Aramaic as well. But because my parents were born in Russia, I have some exposure to the Russian language. My sister is married to an Italian, so I understand and speak a little bit of Italian.
Holy smokes. I have in front of me a copy of a recent article in the Chicago Catholic New World. There's a priest who writes a column there. His name is Father Francis Hoffman. He's otherwise known as Father Rocky. And the title of his article in this edition is, "What Was Old Catholic Mass Like?" Can you give us a brief description of what the old Catholic Mass was like in your country when you grew up?
Sure. It was... Wow, it's been so long. You're making me think back. It was, I'm of the Chaldean Rite.
Yes.
So the Eastern Rite Catholicism is what we follow. And it has a lot of, we burn a lot of incense. We revere Mary, obviously. And I want to say it was pre-Vatican Council, too. I think that's how we celebrate the Mass, if I recall correctly.
So many candles and many signs of the cross.
Yes.
Okay. Beautiful, huh? The old way. Thank you.
See, I used to go to a church called Saint Joseph in Tehran, and I remember it so fondly. I remember the structure. In fact, my priest, who is Father Joseph, who is an Indian, is now in Australia, and we keep in touch thanks to Facebook. And he's so beloved by the young people in Australia, and I remember him. We loved him, too, in Iran. Somehow he connected to the young people so well.
Wow. What a background. What a great culture. You know, there is another publication called Inside the Vatican that we've discussed in the past, And there are a few interesting articles in the February issue, one of which is titled, Russian Patriarch Blames Rise of ISIS on World Acceptance of Homosexuality. The Russian Orthodox Church, Patriarch Kirill, K-I-R-I-L-L, blames this current trend toward homosexuality as being acceptable to the Eastern and Western worlds. He blames ISIS for doing so well in their violence and murders and killings throughout the world. What's your sense of that?
You know, I agree with him, but also it's not only homosexuality that I believe has contributed to the rise of this Islamic fundamentalism. Well, first of all, Islamic fundamentalism has been there since the rise of Islam 14 centuries ago. But it's found its way into the West, I believe, because of the breakdown of the family unit, because of feminism, because of the culture of death that we're such a fan of here in the West, and homosexuality, gay marriage, and et cetera. So I think just walking away from the commandments, walking away from God, taking God out of our schools, breaking down the commandments, the Ten Commandments, taking them out of the city halls and government buildings, all of those contribute to just rise of evil throughout the world. Particularly about ISIS, though, I must say this evil called Islamic fundamentalism that has completely dominated the Middle East and now it's finding its way once again to the West is nothing new. It's been around for a long time.
So once again, it sounds not only like a well-read person, but a well-visited person. You've recently told me that you've been to Iraq and Iran. There's another article here in the Inside of Catholic this month that says that the oldest monastery in Iraq has been destroyed by ISIS.
And it was in September, yes.
So you knew about this, huh? Were you ever there or recall that place at all?
No, see, I was born in Iran, and in 300 years of my own personal family history, I was the first person to go back to the ancestral homeland, Iraq. I have not been back to Iran, Tom, for 25 years, 27 years actually now. But going to Iraq for the first time, it was quite emotional for me. So I unfortunately have not seen any of these monasteries that have been destroyed or different Assyrian monuments that have been destroyed in Nineveh and city of Nimrud, for example, and other places. I wasn't blessed enough to be able to see those. God willing, maybe someday when ISIS is defeated, I can go back and see some of the ruins. But so Mar Elia was destroyed in September. You're correct. And I have to tell you, if you don't mind, just taking a moment and talking about why we chose the name Voice of Nineveh show. A lot of people don't realize that there are the Assyrians of Iraq and Syria are the people, are the Christians who are being slaughtered and have been displaced and have become refugees. We're referred to as Christians from Syria or Iraqi Christians, but in fact we have an ethnicity, and it's the Assyrianism. It's Assyrianism. A lot of people know it from the old biblical, from the Old Testament. These Assyrians are the children of Nineveh. So I am the daughter of Nineveh, the same Ninevites that repented through Jonah to the Hebrew God. So, and because I'm from there, because a lot of focus that we will have here is going to be the news on the persecution or stories of courage and how these people are living and how people can get involved with this cause, we saw it befitting to call it Voice of Nineveh because we truly are the voice of the voiceless.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You also mentioned that you were in Jordan. Is there some memories of Jordan that you may wish to address or talk about at this time?
Yes. We went to Jordan twice, once in August, once in December. And the reason we went there was to visit with the refugees, have a meeting with the Jordanian government and other Christians that came from across the world, Christian leadership from the Lutheran Church, actually, to talk about creation of a safe haven for the Assyrian Christians of northern Iraq. But in the meantime, we visited a refugee camp there that was full of Sunnis. A lot of Christians in the West believe that Christians in the Middle East are placed, these displaced Christians are living in refugee camps. And I have to tell you, they're not. A lot of Christians, Assyrians in Jordan and Lebanon and Syria and Turkey are not living in camps. They are living in small apartments on cheap side of these larger cities. The only place Christians are living in camps, in caravans, which are small mobile homes, is in northern Iraq. So my purpose for visiting Jordan was to visit with my fellow Christian refugees.
So really a safe haven, as you know it, is one that is rare. Would you have to say that in terms of how the world sees it?
It's going to be in northern Iraq. And it's just outside Mosul. Because Mosul, I don't know, do you know where, actually I'm going to ask you,
yes,
Tom.
Yes, I do.
Do you know where Mosul, where Nineveh is?
Yes, I do.
Where is it? In today's Iraq's geography.
Well,
I'm going to put you on the spot.
I know it's being in the north and eastern part of the country, is it not?
Yes. Yes, it is. And it's in Mosul, actually.
Yes.
And it's for the first time in 2,000 years, Mass is not celebrated.
Not at all.
In Mosul. Yeah. Right.
Thank you.
So right outside Mosul, there's a place called the Nineveh Plain, where our ancestral homeland is there.
Wow.
And a lot of people have become displaced out of Nineveh Plain. And when we went to Iraq, we spoke to these people. They all collectively said, please help us go back home. And that's what I do, aside from delivering aid throughout the region. Myself and my employer, Philos Project, we're working heavily on gaining support for creation of the Nineveh Plain.
So how would you go about doing that? I mean, you raise monies for sure, probably. What kind of material things? I heard that you had some kind of contribution of mattresses to help people get through the winter.
Yes.
What else might there be that people could figure out how they could help?
Well, let's take the whole entire problem and break it down into two segments. One is the short-term solution that we're looking for. One is a long-term solution. The short-term solution is where people immediately can become partners with the Iraqi Christian Relief Council. We raise funds for food, shelter, medicine, any other basic necessity that these people have, we raise money for. And we send it to them, to Christian organizations on the ground. One of the Christian organizations is St. Catherine of Siena Dominican Order. We support them. We went on this past trip that I came back from last week. We visited the sisters, their schools, their clinics. It is amazing. It's just mind-boggling what 13 nuns have been able to put together to support 50,000 people.
How are they protected?
They're protected because they're in the Erbil area, and American consulate is in Erbil. So when ISIS started approaching early last year, in 2015, when they started moving towards Erbil, America started the airstrikes late 2014 because American interest was at risk now. So they're safe because they're in the Kurdistan area. So short-term solution would be to donate to the organization, and we send the money for whatever their needs are. The long-term solution is political. The long-term solution is to write to your state representatives, which in the future we will talk about. I don't want to confuse our listeners, but especially during this 2016 campaign, it's extremely, extremely critical for us to choose a Christian man and an American man at heart, to understand the consequences of what these people are going through, because this persecution is not going to stay there. It has come here, and it's going to be here even more rapidly. We're going to see it more rapidly happen here. But 2016, whoever the president is going to be, is going to play a vital role in helping us create the Nineveh Plain. So that's a short, long-term solution for people to go back home.
okay, this safe haven where the sisters are, St. Catherine of Siena sisters, does the Soviet presence or interplay in this action help us or hurt us in that area?
That's a very tough question to answer because Turkey is now involved, Iran is involved, Russia is mainly involved in Syria. We don't see too much involvement in northern Iraq, at least not that we saw recently when we were there. Sunnis and the Shiite within Iraq. So it is really, really complex. We, as Christians of Iraq, have pleaded with Russians because we waited for Americans to help us, and they never came. So some of us, I haven't, but there have been people on the ground that have gone to Russia and have sought help. Thus far, they've received aid. They have not received any other political help from Russia. But we really need to, you know, we need the world to come along our side.
Okay, but as I understand you, the American embassy there is our protection for our sisters that are helping and for your people there. So the presence of our embassy is critical at that point.
Yes, but to be honest with you, Tom, when ISIS rolled into Mosul, we could have stopped them. When Chairman Royce in Congress will tell you himself that when they left Raqqa in Syria, which is their capital city, if you will, now self-proclaimed, when they started to move into Iraq, they should have been stopped. So when Mosul was attacked, we should have stopped them, but there was no American interest there, so we didn't stop them. So to be honest, there's a lot of hurt feelings on the ground from the American policy.
Okay, are there any other orders like Franciscans or Benedictines or Jesuits who also have communities or places of assistance like these Dominicans at St. Catherine of Siena?
I have not come across with them, but I'm sure there are, because there's a big Catholic university there that they've just opened recently. But I can talk about that further in just a couple of minutes. Right now we have to break. And please give us a call. We would love to hear from you. 224-585-9734. The number is 224-585-9734.
I am Bishop Alberto Rojas, one of the auxiliary bishops in Chicago. Anything that has to do to bring in the message of salvation, bring in the message of Jesus in any way, but especially through the radio, through the media today, as we advance, how media has evolved so fast, not only through the radio, but through all kinds of ways, especially with the computers and phones, and this is unbelievable. I think it's very important that we use these means of communication to also bring the message of salvation, the message of Jesus through the world.
WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio is committed to bringing quality Catholic programs to our local community. We only can do that with your financial support. Take a moment now to donate online at WSFIradio.org or mail your tax-deductible donation to WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois 60048. That's WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois 60048. Donations of any amount are greatly appreciated.
Are you retired or near retirement? Do you want to keep a larger amount of your assets in a safe place with guaranteed interest rates to protect yourself from a huge market swing? Are you amazed at how low the interest rates are at your bank? If you said yes to any or all of those questions, you may want to call me, Matt Tomlinson, at Catholic Financial Life to discuss our guaranteed fixed rate annuities. Call 847-548-MATT, 847-548-6288. Products not available in all states.
Did you know that you can listen to WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio from anywhere in the world? Our live internet stream is available at WSFIradio.org. Just click on Listen Live. We also stream on the TuneIn mobile app for your smartphone or tablet. For iPhone and iPad users, visit the App Store, download the TuneIn app, sign up for a free account, and then search for WSFI. Click follow to add us to your profile. For Android users, visit the Google Play Store, download the TuneIn app, sign up for a free account, and then search for WSFI. Click follow to add us to your profile. Need help? Call us at 224-206-8455. That's 224-206-8455.
Welcome back to Voice of Nineveh. I'm Juliana Tamarazzi with my co-host Tom O'Connor. Tom, you want to say hello?
Hello, Juliana. Thank you for being here.
We have a caller on the line. Joan, are you there?
Juliana.
Hi, Joan. How are you?
Okay, hold on one second.
We are holding. We're very excited to give out the number. I'm going to give out the number one more time. We would love to hear from you.
Juliana?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, Joan. I'm here.
Oh, I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you so well. Now I can hear you.
Great.
My question is, I came in late, and I'm very interested. Would you explain the Nineveh Plain to me? I didn't quite get what you were saying about it.
Sure. The Nineveh Plain is in northern Iraq. It's right north of Mosul, which right now ISIS has complete control of it. So when our history will tell you that Nineveh Plain is our ancestral homeland, a lot of it is very rich with oil. It is very rich with natural gas. And the largest town in Nineveh Plain, which was called Karakosh or Berdede, there are two names for it. It was mainly Christians, and ISIS rolled in the middle of the night. The church bells rang, and people had to flee. So the reason we are fighting to get back the Nineveh Plain, it is not only, by the way, for Christians, it will be for all minorities. Because in Iraq used to be a beautiful mosaic made up of the Shiites, the Sunnis, the Kurds, the Christian Assyrians, made up of Shabaks and Yazidis and other groups. So, and you know, especially the minorities lived fairly peacefully with one another. So Nineveh Plain is that region where the Iraqi constitution, as well as the Kurdish constitution, they both slated it for minorities in Iraq. And unfortunately, we have not been able to obtain it, or it has not been given to us, because we don't have enough support from the West to put pressure on Iraq or on the KRG, Kurdish Regional Government, to give us the Nineveh Plain. So what we're doing is we're working tirelessly here in the West, no, in Europe, and in America, to give it to the minorities so they can prosper there.
I understand. So my next, can I have one other question?
Of course.
So what can we hope from that our presidential contenders or our next president will do to help your situation? What would be the best, your best choice for them to help you?
They have to put pressure. First of all, there are so many abuses inflicted on the Christians and also Yazidis in Iraq by the Kurdish regional government. A lot of people hail the Kurds as warriors and as fair people. I have a different story to tell you. Again, I just came back from the region. We've always known about these issues, but then it was confirmed even more seriously and concretely when we were there, when we spoke to people on the ground. And also, so the U.S. government, the Israeli government, and other governments throughout the world, what we expect of them is to put pressure on Iraq, Iraqi government in Baghdad, and also in Erbil, the Kurdish regional government, to put to give us freedom of worship, to respect us as an ethnic group, not only as Christians of Iraq. We're not Arabs, we're Assyrians of Iraq. There are Yazidis that live there. There are Turkmens that live there. We all must be honored, not only by our faith, but also by our race. And there have been many lands that have been taken away from us. We want them back. So we can provide the counsel that the governments need, especially the United States' future president, because this president, Obama, will never help us. He has never helped us. But the future president can put pressure to these two governments that I talked about to give us what is rightfully ours.
Joni, thank you so much for calling in. I'd like to go on to a next question here that's been posed thanks to your question, Joan. Recently, the United States Bishops Committee on Ecumenical and Interreligious Affairs announced on February the 8th that it is launching a new National Catholic Muslim Dialogue. And Archbishop Supich of Chicago has been named co-chair. Listening to you, Juliana, you have traveled extensively throughout our country and other parts of the world. And I can sit here listening to and marvel of the many people, heads of government, religious leaders that you've met, that would set a background here for this question. How can Archbishop Supich, who is the Archbishop of Chicago, co-chair a committee now formed by the U.S. Catholic bishops, what can they do to have a dialogue with Muslims that would help your Assyrian Catholic people in those areas that you've traveled extensively, that you were born in? What would be a beginning statement? What would be a beginning action that could that these bishops could take? But before you answer, the phone number 224-585-9734. 224-585-9734 is the phone number that you could call in and leave a donation, leave some money, leave some help here for Juliana. So, Juliana, going back to the question, what do you think?
Well, that's a very good question and poignant question, Tom. The dialogue has been going on throughout the Western countries with the Islamic groups. And I don't want to be pessimistic. I have to be optimistic because any reform, any change that will come in the Islamic religion, it has to be from the Muslims. And the fact that Cardinals or Archbishop Supich is starting this dialogue, it could be viewed as a positive step. But I really, really hope and pray, whoever is involved from a Christian standpoint, they really understand Islam, that they're not been educated on the softer side of Islam. I really hope they will go in there with enough knowledge to challenge the Muslim brothers that they're sitting there with talking with them and Muslim sisters to really come up with a solution for reformation within Islam, and also respecting Christians and other non-Muslims, not to have them live as dhimmis. Dhimmis are those who are not Muslim and they're subjected to the Sharia law and they live as second or third class citizens. So we in the Middle East have lived as dhimmis. For example, in Iran, I lived as a dhimmi because I had to follow Sharia law. I did not have the freedom of not to cover my hair. I had to cover my hair after 1979. I could not do the act of the cross publicly. I could not proclaim my faith on the corner of the street. I would be killed and I would have been taken in and killed. In Iraq, the same. Across the whole Islamic world, the same. So it could be viewed as a positive step, but we cannot be soft. We have to stand true to our own Christian principles. And I hope that I answered your question, but I have to remain positive with this.
Well, more than answered my question, I hope that Archbishop Blaise has listened to you, and if he hasn't listened to you, that he would get a copy of this interview and listen to your first suggestion, because I don't know of anybody, and I'm an old man, I don't know anybody more qualified than you to give him an example of the best way to start this dialogue. Hopefully that we're going to protect our own Christians first.
You're very gracious to me, Tom, as always. But yes, if Archbishop Supich would like to even talk to people that have come here from the East, witnesses that would prepare him, if you will, with actual live testimonies before he went to these meetings, I'm available to serve him and the Archdiocese of Chicago.
Yeah, not only available to listen to them, but to bring them with him, like you, somebody like you, with him to these meetings. Absolutely.
Tom, we have a caller. Anne, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Juliana. The reason I was calling, I was trying to find out from you if you understand about the immigrant situation, especially the immigrants coming from that area and going into Europe and to the United States. How many of those are the Christians that we're talking about?
There are very, very, very few Christians that are fleeing among Muslims to the West, simply because they are afraid to be in these Islamic groups. As I said earlier, when I was in Jordan, a lot of people said to me, go visit Christians in camps. And when I went to visit these Christians in camps, there was not one Christian in Al-Za'atari Sunni camp. There were about 80,000 Syrians there. And I have to tell you, personally, I see this this entire takeover of refugees of Europe and also the United States is truly, in my opinion, a part of the bigger plan of Islamic world domination. A lot of these Muslims that come, for example, I was with Dr. Ford, who has two PhDs, who is actually very friendly to the Islamic cause, who serves in Dover. She told us just last weekend that she went to visit these camps, and these Muslims said to her, we don't like your religion, we don't like your culture, we don't like your way of life, we don't want to assimilate, we want to remain in our ghettos, and we will bring our own Sharia law, we want our court system brought with us. To me, look, I was a refugee when I came to the States. I came to the States because I wanted to assimilate in the American culture without losing my faith, my ethnicity rather, and my heritage and my language. And I did so. And I'm eternally grateful for the United States. But these Muslims that come here, they have, majority of them, I'm not saying all, but majority of them don't have any intention of assimilating. Yes, there are those that are truly, genuinely fleeing and wanting to live, to start a better life, but a lot of them don't want to assimilate. And one question I would have, I would pose it to the future president of the United States, and I pose it to Arab world, why is it that Arab countries are not taking in these refugees to bring them to safe haven? Called Saudi Arabia, called Yemen, called Qatar, called Turkey, for example. They know the language, but a lot of those countries obviously speak Arabic. They know the culture. They know the faith. It's an Islamic faith. So why do they have to come and take over Europe, the Christian world? I believe it's just part of the bigger plan.
Thank you for the phone call. Juliana, thank you. You know, we at WSFI Catholic Radio are even more grateful that you are here than you're here, than you wanting to be here. We're grateful.
I am eternally grateful, Tom, for everything you guys do for my ministry.
So listen, if all of you out there want to help somehow Juliana's efforts to bring peace and love to her people, back to Christianity in the Middle East, call 224-585-9734.
And also, our website is victimsofisis.org. You can visit us, victimsofisis.org.
Thank you, Juliana. What else do we have?
Well, the phone number, 224-585-9734, we're really eager to hear from you. We would love to know your thoughts, your questions, because, you know, Tom, a lot of our donors, our supporters, or even people that just call to inquire, they say, this is such a monumental task. This is such a big problem. We don't even know what to do. So what we do, they say, we just ignore it. We close our eyes, we close our ears, hoping that this is going to go away. But believe me, persecution is not going to be contained in the Middle East. As we all have seen, what happened in San Bernardino, what happened in France, we just have to be diligent, and we have to be open to help the fellow Christians. If we really, really want to practice the gospel and live the gospel, we have to abide by it. We're all members of one body of Christ.
It seems to me that your point is well taken. I know that if citizens in the state of Illinois were flooded out along the Mississippi River, we have help from people from Missouri and Iowa and Oklahoma and Arkansas. So why is it not that the Saudi Arabian people and the Yemen people and other people don't help their own brothers and sisters like you're suggesting? That's kind of a huge mystery to me. So what else do we have, Juliana?
I think, just to build on your point, the basis of Islam is to really create a caliphate throughout the world. They want to dominate the world. And if they tell you otherwise, please don't believe them. I'm not saying all Muslims are terrorists. I'm not saying all Muslims want to live like that or impose Sharia law upon us. There are many, many good Muslims. And there are many of them. Many of them are my friends. But we don't get involved. Talk about theological differences that we have. We're just friends, and we're really good friends. And many of them have been very good to my family, more than even my own relatives, right? So, but the essence of Islam, if we truly, truly think about it, it really is world domination. I'll give you a resource that you can go visit. There's this guy, a former Wahhabist, Wahhabi, from Saudi Arabia. His name is Ali Fadi, F-A-D-I. You can view him on YouTube, Ali, A-L-I, space Fadi, F-A-D-I. And he wrote a book called The Quran Dilemma. It's a two-volume book that he, as a former Muslim who now is a Christian, he's a Baptist Christian, actually, will tell you the truth about what the Quran says and what Islam is about. So I would highly recommend our fellow Christians to educate themselves about the real Islam.
Thank you, Juliana.
I think we have a couple of minutes until the break. Right, Tom?
Yes, we do.
We have 1 minute. We have 1 minute. What are your thoughts on what I just said, what I just shared about Ali Fadi?
I think everything you've just said to us is perfectly within the realm of intelligence, and I hope people are listening. And if they are listening, please call us at 224-585-9734.
Wonderful. And when we come back, we have an email question, which we will read to you. Stay tuned.
Thank you, Juliana.
Past president of the National Family Partnership. I am speaking today for WSFI. It's a wonderful station, and you can catch prayers and talks and information anytime. It's wonderful to hop in the car and be able to turn on that radio and get good Catholic information. So, if any of you enjoy and appreciate this, please send your donation. And don't forget to pray for them. We need prayers for the success of this station because we know how important it is.
WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio is committed to bringing quality Catholic programs to our local community. We only can do that with your financial support. Take a moment now to donate online at WSFIradio.org or mail your tax-deductible donation to WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois 60048. That's WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois 60048. Donations of any amount are greatly appreciated.
Are you retired or near retirement? Do you want to keep a larger amount of your assets in a safe place with guaranteed interest rates to protect yourself from a huge market swing? Are you amazed at how low the interest rates are at your bank? If you said yes to any or all of those questions, you may want to call me, Matt Tomlinson, at Catholic Financial Life to discuss our guaranteed fixed rate annuities. Call 847-548-MATT, 847-548-6288. Products not available in all states.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
My Lord and my God, Into your hands I abandon the past and the present and the future, what is small and what is great, what amounts to little and what amounts to a lot, things temporal and things eternal. Amen.
Welcome back, my friends. Before we go on with the program, I'd like to say the Hail Mary in Aramaic. Shemit Baba Bruno Ruchot Kucha, Amen. Shlama Lachiamat Mariam, Litavet Shapagat, Marana Machile, Bruchtavad Gobachtate, Bruchtalat und Kisach Isho, Mat Mariam Yimet Allaha, Salim Gibdian Chataye, Minadia, Haldan Motan, Amen. Shemit Baba Bruno Ruchot Kucha, Amen. If anybody wants to learn the Aramaic Hail Mary, or even our Father's prayer in Aramaic, I'll be happy to assist with that. There was an email that was sent to us. The question is if I'm familiar with something that is going on to urge Senate to support calling Muslim Brotherhood a terrorist organization. I believe Act for America organization that was started by Bridget Gabriel has started this petition. I'm not familiar with it, but I just will tell you that a lot of destruction and persecution that was inflicted on our fellow Christians in Egypt, the Coptic Christians, were perpetrated by the Muslim Brotherhood. So although I'm not familiar with this, but I would be in support of this. In fact, it is Muslim Brotherhood that puts pressure on different law enforcement organizations that we have here, agencies that we have here, to really be very soft on the Islamic radicalism. Tom, what do you think about this?
I think I believe everything you say.
You believe everything?
Thank you, Juliana.
Tom is very much engaged right now with this action alert. Tom, we have Bonnie on the line. Hi, Bonnie.
Hello, Bonnie.
Hi, Juliana. Hi,
Tom. How are
you?
Hi.
I am absolutely fine. I am fascinated, as always, by your total commitment to our Christian brothers and sisters. And I'm wondering, Juliana, if you could tell me how we would be able to find this book you talked about earlier, the two-volume book. I really think that's some material that Catholics living here in the United States might find both fascinating and informative.
I will Google this right away for you. Basically, the book is called The Quran Dilemma, and it's a two-volume book. I would suggest you guys to Google the name Ali Fadi, A-L-I space F-A-D-I, The Quran Dilemma. I think the website is actually The Quran Dilemma. So it's THEQURANDILEMMA .com. So you can order it online, and the organization will send you some other materials as well. Again, my friends, I'm not saying that all Muslims are terrorists. There are many good Muslims that are suffering and they're embarrassed with what's happening. They're renouncing this. But the issue is there are not too many of them, and they're not loud enough, because I believe they're just afraid.
Well, I think silence sometimes in the face of evil allows evil to continue and grow. So I agree with you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling, Bonnie.
Thanks.
Just on that point, Tom and Bonnie and everybody, I just wanted to urge you also to go on YouTube and look for a docudrama, a 10-minute docudrama that I was the executive producer on. It's called Sing a Little Louder. Sing a Little Louder, based on what Bonnie was just saying, that silence is really the enemy of the truth and the enemy of this cause. Sing a Little Louder is a short docudrama about the real life story of a German boy whose church was singing loud to drown out the cries of the Jews that were being taken to death camps on trains. And the train happened to break in front of his church on a Sunday morning. And the choir started singing loud, following the instruction of the pastor to drown out the cries of the Jews. I really would urge you to go on YouTube and look for Sing a Little Louder and watch it through the end until it it's all over, because then you will see some images of the persecution from 1914 through 1918 of the Armenians and the Assyrians until today, what ISIS has done to people. And feel free to share it as well.
Thank you, Juliana. Thank you so much.
I think, once again, I'm going to give the address to the website address to our website, to our organization. It's IraqiChristianRelief.org, IraqiChristianRelief.org. Also, you can visit us at victimsofisis.org. And we are a 501c3 here in the United States. We travel throughout the country. If if our listeners would like to hear and see visuals, images, videos of the persecution, of what these people will tell you, what they want you to hear, I give presentations across the world. I just had one in Southern Illinois last week. I'm having one on the 12th as well, another one on the 19th in Illinois. So if your priests, if your pastors are willing to allow the congregation, the parish, to really hear the truth about their fellow Christians and what they're going through, we can do that. Tom, you've been to one of my presentations, correct?
I've been to at least one, Juliana.
It was Father Grigas at Marytown.
Yes.
That had organized it, actually two Valentine's Days ago, Valentine's Day of 2015, and we had such a huge turnout. A lot of aid was brought to us, a lot of prayers, and it was just amazing.
Yes, it was.
I'm wondering if we're going to have other callers, or please email us. I think I'm going to ask our producer, our radio engineer, if this is going to be an archive and available. Yes. So later on, if your friends have missed this program and you want to urge them to listen, this is going to be archived, and I would ask you to tune in. I'll tell you something about Iraq, though. So I was flying from Istanbul, there was a connection. We had a connection, connecting flight. So from Istanbul to Iraq, to Erbil, as soon as the plane took off, Tom, from Istanbul to go to Erbil, I started sobbing. I could not stop crying because I was going to the homeland. I was going to visit these people that I have worked for, dedicated my entire life for the last 8.5 years of this persecution. And as an activist for the Assyrian cause, I have dedicated my life ever since I was 19 years old here in this country. And I come from a lineage of activists. And in fact, 8 of my family members were killed in the name of Islam in a 120-year span. And my great uncle was killed in Russia for his nationalism, nationalistic sentiments that he had. So my grandmother is the woman who embroidered the first modern-day Assyrian flag. My other grandmother was a writer. She was an author, a poet, and so on and so forth. So going to the homeland, the place that they only wrote about and they dreamed about, and I was taking their spirits with me, it was so heavy for me. It was so profound for me that I did not stop crying. And when I landed, I kissed the ground twice. Although we landed in what is called Kurdistan, to me, that's an Assyrian land. So I was kissing the ground where the kings and the queens and the Christians had walked on. We were 1 kilometer away from ISIS at one point. We went to a town called Telesqof. This town, Telesqof, was liberated by the American and Kurdish forces. So they pushed back ISIS after a month of them living there. And I went to St. George, an Eastern church, an Assyrian Church of the East church. And when I walked in and I saw the incense that was still left there, I saw the donations that were scattered on the ground. When I saw the picture of the statue of the Virgin Mary beheaded, her hands broken, it shook me to my foundation. This town, there's no one living there except one old lady who refused to leave. And in fact, ISIS gave her water, gave her medicine because she was so old, they had pity on her. she's the only one who's left there. And the Christian militia that is defending or protecting the town now are taking care of her. But Tom and my friends who are listening, walking in through a town that was completely deserted, we walked through these homes that you see crosses still hanging, images of Mary and Jesus still hanging, but the clothing is on the floor, the chairs are completely destroyed. And it was so hard for me to breathe because God knows where those people are today. They've left everything behind. And when I walked in the church and I saw the statue of the Virgin Mary destroyed like that, it really, really shook me to my foundation. And soon we're going to have those images on our website. Soon we're going to have those images on our social media. It just left me breathless, Tom.
Thank you, Juliana. You remind me, as I was listening to you, so much of St. John Paul II, who had the famous image of getting off the airplane, walking down the stairs and kissing the tarmac. And so many of the things that you represent and speak of remind me so much of him.
If your friends have missed this show, the podcast is available for Apple. And I believe the application is called Stitcher for Android, or online at wsfiradio.org. And I have to give a plug-in to WSFI. The way you guys have allowed me, you've given me a home here. You've allowed me to come in. Whenever I've had a message to deliver, you've opened the doors to me. And I'm grateful. And please, I ask the listeners to support the Catholic Radio WSFI because it is the voice of the truth. It is allowing us to be the voice of the persecuted. It is giving many fathers, many priests the platform to bring healing, to bring the Lord's message to those who may be lost, those who may be contemplating suicide or anything else, those who are lonely. WSFI is there to help. Our phone number is 224-585-9734. Tom, I know that when I was going to Iraq, you, among other friends, were extremely worried about my and my team's well-being. A lot of people tried to stop me from going. I'm back in one piece.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, yes, indeed. I have to tell you something funny, though. So when I went to, when I was going there, my mother, who's 84, I refused to tell her that I was going to the front lines. And I told her I was going to Denmark. Out of all places in the world, I picked Denmark. Not Germany, not Italy, but Denmark. So on the last day of our trip, I refused to post anything on Facebook because I was afraid that my family or my friends would call my mother and say, hey, we saw Juliana, who is under the banner of Mosul, under the sign of Mosul, for example. But on the last day, I gathered up courage and I posted an image of myself on Facebook under the sign of Mosul City. And then my godmother called her and she said, hey, so we're so happy Juliana is so courageous. She's in Iraq. And my mom said, what do you mean she's not in Iraq? She's in Denmark. And when I got back, I started showing her pictures. I said, Ma, I want to show you the pictures of my trip. And as the slideshow was rolling, she came to this sign, Mosul, 70 kilometers. And she said, what is this? And then I videotaped her reaction, guys. I have her reaction. Oh, my gosh. And we repeatedly view it. And she wept, Tom. She said, thank God you didn't tell me that you were going because I would have died of a heart attack.
Of course.
Yeah, it was. But, you know, I'll tell you, the people on the ground, we visited refugee camps. And I don't know. I'm sure many of you have seen these refugee camps on video or on the Internet. It's something different when you're there, when you sit with them, when you talk to them. Tom, animals live better than these guys do. These people are laying on the ground next to each other without any privacy. I went to this small caravan the woman was so embarrassed to let me in. Because I'll tell you, the Assyrian women are very clean, organized, with style, and they have great taste in decorating their homes. And they've lost everything. They've lost their garden, their kitchen, their living room. They've lost everything. So when, as we were walking through this camp, this woman said, "Here, let me show you how I live." And as I started walking in, I think she changed her mind as we were approaching her caravan, her little room. And she said, "Well, you know what? Please don't laugh at me." She actually said, "Please don't laugh at me." And I said, "My goodness, please don't say that." So we walked in. There was one small room. Her newlywed son and daughter-in-law live next door, next to them, separating them with a curtain. And her younger son live in so-called the front room. It's just one room, just separated with a curtain. Can any of our listeners imagine themselves for just a moment that we all have cars, we all have homes and jobs, and we have the freedom to go to the store and buy whatever we want with our own money. And yet these people have to wait for ration to be brought to them. They don't have their own money to be able to go shop for whatever they want. The food has to be delivered to them. Their kitchen really is on the outside of their room. And Iraq can get very cold in the winter and very hot in the summer in the north. And women have to step outside and cook in the winter. They have to take showers, walking to where the general area is to take showers in. They have small rooms that take showers in, and they have to walk back dripping wet.
What we have to do, and what we must do, and you repeat over and over and over again, is you bring hope to these people, and you are asking this listening audience, you're asking the people of America and people of Europe, once again, to give hope to the people in the Middle East. And that's what you do. You bring hope. You bring Our Lady's hope to the airwaves and to the people that you meet on a daily basis. And that's what we have to do, is hope.
And I thank God. And they do have, their faith in Christ is so strong. Please visit us at WSFIradio.org. Our website for my ministry is IraqiChristianRelief.org or VictimsOfISIS.org. Please stay tuned. We will be with you again next month on the first Friday of the month at 11 o'clock Central Time. God bless you, and please keep us in your prayers.
God bless you. Thanks, Juliana.
Thank you, Tom.
You are listening to WSFI 88.5 FM, Catholic Radio, Antioch.